Jeremiah chapter 18. The book of Jeremiah chapter 18, as with any prophecy, there's one interpretation, but there's many applications. We're going to read this prophecy and then make some applications to us this evening. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." If you were to go to the potter's house, you would see several things. You would see, of course, the potter. You would see the potter's wheel. You would see clay. And you would see the kiln out back. I want to make application from this story to us. First of all, of course, God is the potter. Isaiah chapter 64, if you would go there. Isaiah chapter 64. And look at verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are the work of thy hand." We have no right to say to the potter, and this will get clearer as I go through the lesson. We have no right to say to the potter, "Why have you made us the way that we are?" Each of us, ladies and gentlemen, as you very well know, we are completely unique before God. I understand that. And we are very, very precious to God. He has a perfect will for our life. What a joy it is for me as a pastor when I'm speaking to you and different people. I can say that God has a perfect will for your life. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Book of Romans chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 20. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory?" Suffice it to say, God is the potter. The second thing that you would see if you went to the potter's house would be the clay. Clay is just common and ordinary stuff. As God is the potter, we are the clay. There's no intrinsic value at all in clay or in any of us apart from the hand of God. In West Texas, we had a whole bunch of red clay. We had gray clay, but red clay was everywhere. Every ditch beside the road had red clay in it. The red clay was everywhere. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 2. And I hope you brought your Bibles tonight because we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture. Genesis chapter 2, and look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. In Psalm 103, verse 14, the Bible says this, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are nothing more than dust as far as this old body is concerned. The only way for clay to be of any value at all is when it meets the hand of the potter. Then the potter can make something beautiful of the clay. Do you remember your life before you met God? Anything beautiful about that life as far as the things that really count? As far as clay is concerned, it just depends on whose hand you are in. In John chapter 6, go with me there, please. In John chapter 6, and verse 9, the Bible says this, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? That's a good question. 5 little cheap barley loaves and 2 little fish? What are they among so many? Not much. But that young man put what he had in the hand of God, and that fed a multitude. It all depends on whose hand the things that we have are put in. Now, the third thing that you would see if you went to the potter's house would be the potter's will. The potter's will applies to us as the circumstances of life, and here's how. Circumstances are what shapes each of us into the vessel that God is making. If you would change anything about your life, what would it be? Would you change your looks? Would you change your parents? Would you change your intelligence? Your brothers and sisters? Would you change some disease that you might have? I've got 3 granddaughters and 2 of them are autistic. And just as sweet as they can be. But I just suspect that there's some people out there that if they could change that about their kids, or if the kids could, they would change that, because there's some learning disabilities that come with that. If there's anything in your life that you would change, what would it be? Well, God has allowed all of us different circumstances so that we might be exactly the person that we are today. He made you just like you are. Nobody can take our place. Nobody can fulfill the ministry that God has chosen for each one of us. I want you to think about something for a minute. Go with me, first of all, to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We're talking about Moses here, and Moses got fussy with the Lord and said, "Lord, I think you want some other Moses, not me. You want Moses Jones. I'm Moses Smith." But here's what the Lord said to Moses. And the Lord said unto him in verse 11, Exodus chapter 4, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb?" Who makes a mouth so that they can speak? Who makes the mouth so that they cannot speak? Or the deaf? Who makes that? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You see somebody that cannot hear, it's God that made that for some purpose known only to God in that. Somebody that's born blind. You say, why did God do that? That was made by God, and He's made it for a special purpose. There is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. Go with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, story of a man that was born blind, and he's going to get his sight. But it's just a sweet story here. We'll not read it all. But John chapter 9 and verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Who did that? That was God that made this man to be born blind. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now let me give you the background to that. The background is in rabbinical law. Every time a baby moved in the womb, the rabbi said that baby was sinning. Okay? So they said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Kid in the womb moves all the time, and they thought that that meant the kid was sinning, or maybe it was the parents. Maybe they did something horrible in their life, and so God made that baby to be born blind. So that's the question. Here's the answer. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." Here's the reason. "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. You got to love these stories. And he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, he's kind of like him." But he said, "I'm the one. I'm he. I'm the one that was born blind, and I can see now." Therefore they said unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Can you believe that that would be an issue? Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our boy and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Let's go on and read this. It's just such a good story. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, go ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner, talking about the Lord, I know not, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. What's the point here? Sometimes God allows people to be born blind, and it's of God, so that God can work a miracle in their life. In the text that we read in Jeremiah, the clay became marred in the hands of the potter. There's only one thing that would cause that. There would have to be some kind of a foreign object, maybe a small rock in the clay, something that is not yielded to the potter's hand. And when the potter is making the vessel, he fills that and it becomes marred. That pottery becomes marred in the hand of the potter. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So the potter takes the clay off the wheel. It has some rock or some hard thing in it so that he can't make the piece of pottery that he wants. And he does what every potter would do. He takes that off and he begins to flatten out the clay, looking for that piece that is unyielded to his hand. He pulls it apart. He flattens it out. He finds that piece of unyielded area, that rock, and he gets rid of it. He pulls it apart and he works with that clay because the supreme passion of the potter is a perfected vessel. He will never be satisfied with anything less than that. Certainly, we as individuals get satisfied with something less than a perfected vessel, but not God. We are to grow in grace, and that is to become a perfected vessel at the end of the pilgrimage. The last thing that you would see if you went to the potter's house would be the kiln out back. After the vessel was formed, it would be put into the fire. That fire would make that vessel usable. It would make that vessel hard so that it would hold water. Let me just apply it this way. Faith in our life is always tried. We are put into the fire to make us usable to the potter. Some of you have made it to the fire. And when you're in the fire, it's not easy. It's difficult. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He puts us in the fire so that we would be made usable to him. Every once in a while, when that pot was put in the fire, it would get a crack in it. And it became known as a crack pot. And I'll tell you what happens to a lot of Baptists when you're put in the fire. You get a crack and you become known as a crackpot in some circles. We are to stay true to God in our life no matter what. D.L. Moody said this, "It's amazing what God can do with the pieces of a broken life considering he gets all the pieces." We are to take the pieces of a broken life and give them to God, and he will make something beautiful of that life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just simple stories that as we read them and they become just very real to us. We're grateful that you told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and see some things and learn some lessons. And Father, I hope that we did that this evening. And then, dear Father, the sweet story about the guy who born blind and your son healed him and he got his seeing. Father, thank you for just wonderful stories in your word that gives us understanding that you are all powerful and we just need to look to you and trust you for everything in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.